this evening. It's good to see you in. We pray the Lord will bless us as we come around His Word and around the throne of grace in prayer later on in the meeting. We're going to open our service this evening by standing to sing hymn 412. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, as it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. We'll stand and sing when we get the music. Please, thank you. Ourselves before the Lord now and ask for His help and His blessing upon the meeting tonight. Our gracious God and our loving eternal Heavenly Father, we just want to still ourselves afresh, Lord, as we come again into Thy presence. Lord, acknowledging what a privilege and opportunity that we have afresh, that we as finite creatures of the dust can come into the thrice holy presence of our great God and our Saviour, who is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, the three in one. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to bow in thy presence this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the way of access that has been made into thy presence through our Saviour and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Heavenly Father, we're here to worship thee tonight, and we pray that, Lord, we would worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for so ordaining our steps that, Lord, we could be here tonight. for everyone who's gathered in the house of God tonight. We pray for those as well who are watching in through the webcast. We thank you for these means as well, reaching out to those outside the congregation or to those who are unwell and are part of this work here. We do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them as they would watch in from wherever they be watching in from. Lord, we just come and we thank thee for the open door for the preaching of thy word. And we do humbly pray and ask, O God, that, Lord, thou wouldst be pleased to pour out thy spirit upon us. That, Lord, thou wouldst be pleased to meet with us here tonight in Armagh. Lord, we acknowledge that without thee, Lord, we can do nothing. Without thee, Lord, we are nothing. We're nothing but sinners fit for eternal ruin in hell. But we thank thee, Lord, that there is salvation. We thank you that there is mercy and there is grace with God. And we thank you, Lord, for saving us tonight, those of us who are saved. And Lord, if there be any watching in and they know thee not as their Saviour, we do pray that, Lord, thou wilt speak to them and bring them lovingly and savingly to thyself. Lord, we're living in difficult days. And Lord, we look around us and there's much to discourage us. But Lord, we're reminded, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Hebrew believers, he told them to look on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we just pray that our eyes this evening will be lifted up to thee afresh tonight. Lord, where we will be encouraged and we will be strengthened, that Lord, we would find hope to keep pressing on and to keep battling on in the Christian walk, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would bless every head bowed in thy presence, Lord, every home represented, every family. Lord, meet every one of them, I pray, at the point of their need. We do pray for the work here in Armagh. We do pray thy hand would continue to be upon it, Lord. Let us know its needs and its challenges and its difficulties, Lord. Lord, I do pray for thy servant, the Reverend McMillan, as he ministers here. Lord, thou wouldst bless him at this time of rest, and his wife as well, Lord. Remember the session and the committee. Remember every worker. Remember every communicant member, Lord, and every family and friend associated with the work here. Lord, I pray for every one of them. Lord, let us know their needs. Lord, oh God, I pray that you would meet every one of them at the point of their need. Lord, I pray that, Lord, they would see thee move in this city in the days which would lie ahead. We do pray for a mighty move of the Spirit of God. We do pray for conviction of sin. We do pray for sinners seeking the face of God, Lord, to be saved. Lord, you've done it in the past. And Lord, we humbly pray and ask that, Lord, thou wouldst do it again for the glory and honour of thy great name. That everything that will be done, Lord, will be done to the glory and honour of the Saviour. And we do desire that tonight as well in this prayer meeting, as we would come around thy word, Lord, as we would seek thy face in prayer. We do pray that, Lord, thou wouldst meet with us. Lord, pour out thy spirit upon us, Lord. Give us liberty tonight. Give us a good time in thy presence, we pray. And Lord, just close us in tonight with thyself. And may we know that it was good for us to be here. For here we met afresh with the Lord. O Lord, bless the sick of this congregation. Bless those perhaps as well that mourn at this time, whose hearts are heavy. Lord, lift them up, we pray. We thank you, Lord, that thou art the God of all comfort. And thou art the God of all grace. Thou art the great physician. And Lord, we pray for those tonight who are laid aside. Do think as well, Lord, of ministers who are laid aside as well. We do want to pray for them. We think, Lord, of the Reverend Fitzsimons just down the road there in Mulloglass. We pray, Lord, that thou hast touched thy dear servant and raise him up again to full health and strength. We think of Dr. Lindsay Wilson as well, the Reverend Calvin Stripp. And Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst bless these brethren too. The Reverend Goods, Lord, and others who had been laid aside, Lord, we pray for them. That Lord, thou wouldst encourage them and bless them. Remember our presbytery, O God. We pray for Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Mercer. And Lord, Mr. Greer, Lord, bless them. Give them wisdom, Lord, for the decisions that would have to be made in future days. Bless our presbytery. Bless every minister and elder, Lord, we pray. Bless my fellow students tonight, Lord. Bless the licentiates. Open doors of service for them, Lord, I pray. And Lord, we pray that in these days we would see thee move to the glory and honour of thy great name. For it's in Jesus' precious name we humbly pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 119. And while you're finding your place, I want to thank the brethren for their kind words of welcome here before the meeting commenced. I'd like to thank your minister for the opportunity to be along tonight and to take your prayer meeting. And I greatly appreciate this opportunity to do this. Psalm 119, please, and we're going to read the third section of this psalm, commencing to read at verse number 17, and then we'll read down to verse number 24. So Psalm 119, commencing to read at verse number 17. This is the word of God. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto the judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Amen. The Lord bless this, the public reading of his word, to your hearts for his own name's sake and glory. Amen. We're just going to bow in prayer once again before we come to consider the word of God this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. And Lord, as we come tonight around the open book, we pray and ask for the help of the blessed Holy Spirit, who is the God of the word. And Lord, we pray that he would come and take away every distracting thought from our minds, O God. We acknowledge, O God, that we have had a busy day. We've had different challenges and circumstances to face. And Lord, I just pray that as we have come into the house of God tonight or watching in, we pray that, Lord, thou wouldst still us now. That, Lord, thou wouldst take away all these distracting thoughts which would take away from our meditations upon thy word. Lord, we need thy help tonight. Lord, I need thy help to bring thy word. Lord, I have no ability in and of myself, and I humbly ask and pray that you would come now and, Lord, hide me far behind the cross. Cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. Empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy blessed Holy Spirit, I pray. And Lord, may thy word go forth this evening with power. And Lord, may it be that word of in season for every heart in the meeting or watching on. O God, I pray you'd cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. O God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me power and give me authority tonight from thyself. For in Jesus' precious name I humbly pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Psalm number 119. And I'd like to just speak for a few moments upon one verse in particular. And it is the verse number 18. The psalmist says there in Psalm 119 verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Bartimaeus was the son of Timaeus. And if you have read your Bible, and perhaps you've come across that incident in the Bible, where we know that Bartimaeus was a man who was blind from his birth. Now we read of his situation in Mark's Gospel chapter 10 verse 47. And in Luke's Gospel chapter 18 verse 38. And in those accounts we find him sitting by the roadside begging. Now he had to beg because of his physical impediment. He was unable to work to support himself. This blindness which he had was a physical blindness. And when he heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be passing his way, he desired to meet with the Lord. He desired for the Lord to come and to touch him. And we know that when we read that account in the Gospels, that he began to cry out, asking for the Lord to come over to him, to which he was rebuked by many around about him. But yet that didn't perturb him. That caused him to cry out all the more. And then we know that the Lord Jesus Christ came alongside him and asked him what he wanted him to do for him. To which he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." To which the Lord's reply to him was, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." And we see here that immediately the Lord Jesus Christ answered this man's prayer. He gave him the desire of his heart, and that was to have his physical sight restored to him. Similarly, here in the Psalm 119, the psalmist asks the Lord about his eyes too. So this evening I want to consider with you for a few moments the thought of praying for your eyes. Praying for your eyes. And the first thought I want to leave with you this evening is the spiritual blindness that existed. The spiritual blindness that existed. This is the reason why the psalmist asked the Lord for his eyes to be opened. You see, he was hindered from seeing more of the Word of God, from seeing the glory of God revealed in the Scriptures. Now, the psalmist had not a physical blindness like Bartimaeus, but his blindness was in another sense. And we see here that he recognizes, there was this recognition of his blindness. You see, his sight wasn't hindered in some way, then he wouldn't have prayed this prayer. But he acknowledges here that he needed his eyes to be opened. There was this blindness in his life. And he recognized that he had this problem. And it wasn't going to be dealt with by himself or by anyone else. Just as Bartimaeus knew that there was nobody who could heal him, there was nobody who could give him the sight which he needed. And that is why he cried unto the Lord. Just as the psalmist here, he prays to the Lord in this great psalm, which is known as the Psalm of the Word. The psalmist, in many instances in this particular psalm, he refers to the Word of God. And you know, brothers and sisters, tonight it's a privilege that we have tonight to have God's Word in our own mother tongue. And you know, if we're going to get into the Word of God, here's a prayer that we need to pray. No matter how young in the faith we are or how seasoned we are in the Christian faith tonight. You know, if there was ever a problem with our eyes, well, then we would go and seek help to get that problem rectified, whether the doctor or the optometrist or the optician, whatever, whoever we would seek to get help from. Because our eyesight is very important. Our eyesight enables us to do a lot of things in our day-to-day life. It's only when perhaps we have bloodshot eyes or watery eyes when we realise just how much they are important to us and how they can be easily annoyed and affected. But we see here the psalmist had this recognition of his blindness. And then he asks the Lord to open his eyes. There was this response to his blindness. And that word "open" there simply signifies to reveal or to uncover. This is what he was desiring for the Lord to do for his eyes. He wanted the Lord to reveal unto him those things which he could not see for himself out of the law of God or out of the Word of God. And here he speaks and asks the Lord for a personal matter. He says, "Open thou mine eyes." Now, it's not wrong to pray for something for yourself. And here is a good thing to pray for your eyes tonight and my eyes, that the Lord would open our eyes. He's desiring divine illumination here. He's desiring that the Spirit of God would come and open his eyes to understand more of the Word of God. And surely, brethren and sisters, tonight, that is something we can pray. That's something which we need to pray. Because the Bible is a book of 66 individual books and two testaments. And when we think of the psalmist, he didn't have the full canon of Scripture which we have today. He would have had just the first five books of the Old Testament. But yet that was enough for him. That was enough for him to realize that he needed the Lord to open his eyes so that he would understand more, that he would learn more of the Lord out of his Word. And surely when we think of the psalmist, and only having those first five books of the Old Testament, and we have a lot more in our possession tonight, so much more of the Word of God, which we yet have to understand and to plumb the depths of and to dig into and to learn more of. This is a good prayer for us to pray. The psalmist here, he's speaking about the Word of God, as I said. He says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." He asks the Lord in the previous verse there, verse 17, he says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." There's humility there. He says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant." This is how he viewed himself before the Lord, as a servant of the Lord. And at best, brethren and sisters, tonight, that's all we are. Sinners saved by grace. Servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not all called, as you know, to be standing where I'm standing tonight, or to be in the foreign field in missionary service. But we all have a part to play in the Lord's work. We can all pray, can't we? That's something which every child of God can engage in, is prayer. And you know, here's a prayer that we ought to be praying, not only for ourselves, but even as well for those around about us, for those in our families who know not the Saviour, those in this city and further afield, because the Lord needs to open their eyes to see their need of Christ. Sinners who are still on that broad road leading them to a lost eternity in hell. Perhaps there's somebody even watching in from home tonight and you're not a Christian. Well, I pray that the Lord would open your eyes tonight, that you would see your great need of the Saviour tonight. Oh, that you would see my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. That you would look to Him through the eye of faith, confessing your sin, turning away from it, and looking to Him to be saved. Oh, that you would see Him in the Word of God tonight. That's why we want to know more of the Word of God. That's why we want to get more into the Bible. Because what does it do? It points us to the person and the work of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Him. Whether through types or shadows or ceremonies or feasts in the Old Testament, pointing forward to the Messiah who would come to Calvary's cross and die for the sins of His people. And then in the New Testament, when we see the Saviour revealed, God incarnate, manifested in the flesh, walking upon this earth, doing good, saving souls, touching those who were sick, bringing the dead back to life. And then when He went to the cross and He died and He rose again and He ascended, and He gave the apostles a great commission to go forward, preaching the gospel throughout this whole world. There we see that the Saviour, His work was continued on through the apostles. That the Spirit of God was sent to set the Christians apart, to sanctify them through the Word of God. Because God's Word is truth, as He said in His great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. You know, brethren and sisters, time in the Word is never wasted time. Time in prayer is never wasted time. And here's a prayer which we and all can pray tonight. Here's a prayer which we ought to be praying every day when we come to read the Word of God, when we come to think upon what God would have to say to us, what He would have to say to you, what He would have to say to me, whenever we take that time just to be fed from the Word of God. You know, I'm sure none of us would miss our breakfast or our lunch or our dinner. Well, how much more important is it to feed ourselves off the Word? And I challenge my own heart, because that's something which we all need to be challenged about, myself included. You know, this blindness which the psalmist talked about, it was something which he desired to be rid of. He wanted to know more of the Word of God. I'm not saying here the psalmist was not a child of God. Of course he was. But I'm talking about the fact that there's always so much more of the Word that we can get to know. There's always something new which we can learn, or perhaps something which we needed to be reminded of in our own hearts and lives. A wee word of encouragement, or even a word of rebuke. "Open thou mine eyes," he prayed, "that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." There we've seen the spiritual blindness that he had. But there was also, secondly here, spiritual blessings to be discovered. spiritual blessings to be discovered. Because he says here, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Here's the spiritual blessings he's talking about. And he knew that the word of God contained, or the law of God in his case, contained many wondrous things. Think about that for a moment. Why does he refer to them here as wondrous things? Well, he refers to them as wondrous things because they reveal unto him more of God. And in our case here today, we can say that they're wondrous things because, as I said a few moments ago, who do they point us to? The Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 9. We're getting into the near that time of the year where this verse is often quoted and preached upon. Isaiah chapter 9 and the verse number 6. And in Isaiah chapter 9 and the verse 6. It says there, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And there we see, brethren and sisters, why this word is very apt, wondrous. For who does it describe here through that word wonderful? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we want to get into the Word more. Because when we get into the Word more, we see more of him. And that's what encourages us. That's what strengthens us to keep pressing on. That's what thrills our hearts when we see more of him. And we consider more of him. And we think more of what he has done for us. How that we as undeserving, guilty sinners deserve nothing but his wrath and his judgment. His condemnation. But yet, out of his infinite grace and mercy, that you and I, sinners saved by grace tonight, have been brought into his family, brought into his fold, redeemed by his precious blood, reconciled unto our Creator God, our Heavenly Father, brought into union with him, adopted into his family, being a joint heir with Jesus Christ, for he is our elder brother, and he is our friend. Because he loved us and gave himself for us. That's why we're thinking, and that's why the psalmist said here, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That word behold there. The psalmist actually uses that word, or that word in the original is used three times in this psalm. And that word is first of all used in verse 6 there. If you read with me back in Psalm 119 verse 6, and it says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And in verse 6 there, it is that word respect, which is the same word that is translated behold. And there, the psalmist is, he is stressing the avoidance of shame. He doesn't want to be ashamed of the word of God. He wants to have respect, notice there, unto all thy commandments. Not just some, but all of the commandments of God. And in our day and generation, in our situation presently, that we would have respect unto all the Word of God. Sadly, so many love to cherry pick out of the Bible. They love to pick this out which suits them and set aside something else which they don't like. Don't we see that even, sadly, in our own province, in many of the wickedness and the sins which are abounding. You know, God is a God of love, that's true. But you cannot divorce God's love from his justice. And that's why God saves sinners. But yet that's why there are sinners that die and go to hell, because they have rejected him. And you know, when we think of the Word of God and how God has given us even marriage and how marriage is between one man and one woman, but yet what does society want to do? So that society wants to open that up and pervert it. And society has done that. And yet that is in total contradiction to what God has laid down in his word. We think of this whole craze of gender ideology and how God has said in his word that there's only two genders, male and female. And we restate that unapologetically tonight. There's not a multitude or a host of so-called genders which people can choose. God has either created you male or female. And that's what the Bible says, and that's where we stand tonight. And society would be far better to get back to the Word of God. And Christian, we ought to remain steadfast upon the Word, while even other so-called churches are setting aside the Word of God, doing what they think is right in their own eyes, seeking to satisfy their own desires. Let us be resolved to remain faithful to the Word. May God help us to remain faithful to the Word, because it is our only rule of faith and practice. We have no other word tonight. I have no other word tonight. I'm not in Bible college to study anything else, but to study the Word of God and to get to know the Lord more through His Word. But also, this word is used in verse 15. And in verse 15 of Psalm 119, he says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. That word meditate is the same word translated there as behold in verse number 18. And there's another thing. There we've thought about in verse 6 to respect. Now we're thinking about meditating upon the Word of God. That simply means by thinking upon what we have just read, chewing it over in our own minds, thinking about what is God saying to me here. You know, it's good for us to meditate, to think upon, to chew over what God is saying to us in His Word. But then in verse number 18, as we have read, to behold. And he is praying for this cause to happen in his own life. And that is the sense of the words here, that the Lord would cause this to be in his life, that the Lord would cause his eyes to be open, that he, the psalmist, would behold, that he would concentrate, that he would pay attention, show regard to, consider what God is saying to him in his word, what God's word contains for him to learn and to think upon. You know, the Bible's full of many wonderful truths and promises, isn't it? And these truths are spiritual treasure for the child of God. For it reveals unto us our wonderful Lord and Saviour, His person, His work, as the only Redeemer of God's elect, as the only Saviour from all sin. And the Bible, the Word of God, it contains the greatest message, the greatest news in the world, and that is the Gospel. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that why it's wonderful? The hymn writer said, and I was just thinking about this last night, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is to me. Oh, it's wonderful to us, dear child of God, because He saved us. Because He loved us and gave Himself for us. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 25, He said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. You see, there's many people in this world and they think they're wise. And they think that they are wiser than God, and they think that they are more intellectual and that they don't need the truths of Holy Scripture. Well, let me tell you, we need the truths of the Word of God. We need the Lord by His Holy Spirit to reveal these things unto us. Because a natural man receiveth not the things which are of God. Isn't that right? And that's why we must keep praying this prayer, not only for ourselves, but praying that the Lord would open up the eyes of those who still are not saved. Turn with me to 1 Peter, please. And in 1 Peter, we want to turn to chapter 1. Just want to read two verses there in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now Peter here, he's writing to Christians who were persecuted for their faith. And he says there in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verses 11 and 12. He says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And there Peter is writing to these Christians, and he speaks to them here about the Spirit of Christ and how the Spirit of Christ testified beforehand the sufferings of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the glory that was going to follow, unto whom it was revealed. You know, the gospel, he mentions there about the gospel being preached and how the Holy Ghost was sent down from heaven. But notice those last words there, verse 12, he says, which things the angels desire to look into. And that is the angels of heaven. Think about it now. Desiring to look into the salvation which we as sinners saved by grace have experienced. And yet the very holy angels in heaven, which left not their first estate, or which kept their first estate in heaven, they desire to look into these things. Because they're so amazing, they're so wonderful. And just imagine it there, how much more they were desiring to look into the things of salvation. How much more should we be desiring to look into the Word of God more, and to learn more of the Lord from His Word. That the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 1 and verse 18. See, the more that is revealed unto us, the more we are humbled. The more we are caused to praise the Lord, and we desire to love Him more than we've ever loved Him before. When we learn something new as human beings, we like, I don't know if you like watching those quiz programs like The Chase or Pointless, but it's always interesting to see these contestants and trying to answer these questions. And perhaps in the situation where they're up against the chaser in that program, and this person, the chaser, who spends their days reading books and scrolling through the internet and newspapers, trying to fill their mind with knowledge so that they can answer these questions. And yes, it's interesting to get to know more about the facts of society and science and technology and all of these things. And all of those things are good in their place. But when we consider the Word of God and how much spiritual treasure it has for us, how much it reveals unto us our Savior, and reveals more unto us of His salvation. When we consider those great truths, it thrills our hearts. Because we have learned something more, we have understood a little bit more of His salvation, and how much it really cost the Son of God to leave His splendors and the majesty of heaven to come to this old sin-cursed world and there to die in our guilty room instead, to purchase redemption for us and to apply it to us by His Holy Spirit. You see, these things, men and women tonight, they are extraordinary. They are wondrous things. They are miraculous things. They are things which are beyond the comprehension of the natural man. And just as the unsaved need the Spirit of God to reveal unto them the truths of the Word regarding their need of salvation, so much more, brethren and sisters, we need the Spirit of God. We need to be praying this prayer that the Lord would open our eyes, that we would behold wondrous things out of Thy law, that we would see more of Christ in the Scriptures, that we would grow in our knowledge and in our fear and admonition of the Lord. Just as Bartimaeus, we were thinking about him at the start of our message. Just as he had that need for his eyes to be opened, so do we have the need for our eyes to be opened, that our understanding would be opened more to take in more of the Word of God, that we would see more of Christ in the Scriptures, that our hearts would be lifted up and encouraged and built up and strengthened in our most holy faith. I'm sure there's lots of things that Bartimaeus wanted to do. I'm sure there's lots of places that he wanted to go and people to see. And he was able to do that after the Lord had restored his sight to him. And we as believers want to know the Lord more. Can I ask you, are you praying for your eyes tonight? Just as the psalmist here, he prayed for his eyes. Do you pray for yours? May this be a word of encouragement and a word of exhortation to you tonight and to myself, that we would pray for our eyes. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake and glory. Amen. We're going to sing again before we come to the word of God. And we're going to sing hymn 413. And we'll stand and sing when we get the music, please. Thank those for watching in tonight, and we bid them goodbye as we come to our time.